to Isaiah chapter 40. Recently, in a conversation I had with one of my coworkers, he was talking to me about how he and his wife had been attending church there in Dixon, where they live, for quite some time, and they just haven't been going lately. I'd asked him, I said, well, you know, he had mentioned some things, and I kind of picked up on it that he was a Christian of some sort. And I'd asked him, I said, where do you guys worship at? And that's when he told me, he said, well, you know, quite honestly, John, we quit going to church. I said, oh, why? He says, well, our preacher was a good preacher. Just really knew what to preach. He was a good preacher, but the politics, I just couldn't take the politics of the church. And it turns out it was one of those mega churches in right there off the freeway somewhere where free will worship. And it was all about the politics of the church, of where the money was going, to which charities, and so on and so on. But what caught my attention was he said, oh, the preacher, he was a good preacher. And I thought to myself, well, what was so good about it? Was he one who could speak real well? Did he have one of those attractive voices, maybe? You know, like some of you ladies may agree, that one cowboy, the skinny guy with the beard and the mustache, it goes on forever. His voice is so deep, and, you know, very attractive voice to some. What makes that preacher so good to you? What was it that was so good? And I think to myself, is it you're looking at the man, or are you looking at the message? Was the message just not good enough to keep you? When the message becomes boring to you, is it all about men and what they're doing and the works of men and a failure type of God? Could that be what it was? What makes you say that this man is a good preacher? Well, God's true preachers all have one message. We read about that message in 1 Corinthians 2:2, where Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you're a sinner who has been saved by God, who God has revealed that you are a sinner to, there's only one message. There's only one message that you can come up with that will bring peace to the soul of a sinner. And that is the message of a Savior. A Savior who has saved His people. Not a Savior who might. Not a Savior who is trying. Not a Savior who is waiting for you to do something. But a Savior who has truly saved His people. They call Him Jesus, for He shall save His people. Throughout the ages, all of God's prophets, all of God's ministers, all of God's preachers have done one thing in common. They pointed their hearers to the one who saves, Christ Jesus the Lord. You hear this all the time. Well, what would Jesus do? Well, I can tell you on the authority of scriptures, Christ preached Christ. You don't need to turn there, but in Luke 24:27, our Lord said, inspired Luke to write, and in the beginning, and beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, He, speaking of our Lord Jesus, who was on the road to Emmaus with two men, who had hid Himself from those two men as they walked along. They didn't even know who it was, even though they had spent some time with Him just before the crucifixion. And here He is expounding, teaching, revealing, opening the Scriptures. And beginning at Moses, the beginning of the books, in the beginning the world was created, and all the prophets, all the way up to Matthew, He expounded unto them the scriptures, the things concerning Himself. Christ preached Christ. If it was good enough for Christ, shouldn't that be good enough for anyone else? This is the desire of all who have been called to preach by God. There is no other way to God but through His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. Moses preached Christ. In John 5:46, had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Moses preached Christ. Abraham preached Christ. John 8:56 says, your father Abraham, this is Jesus speaking to those, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. In Romans 10:13 we read, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God's preachers preach Christ. That's how those who He has chosen before the world was, those that were given to Him by the Father, that's how all are saved. Hearing the gospel preached. And so it goes with all the prophets throughout the Word of God. Those who wrote what they were inspired to write by the Holy Spirit, who by the way also speaks of Christ and not of Himself. So we find here in Isaiah 40 that very thing, the prophet Isaiah preaching. Join me in verse 1 of chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. What comfort can come to a poor, lost sinner? Can comfort come from, well, if you'll just change your ways, if you'll just do this, if you'll just do that, can comfort come from something that fails in everything other than what God has done in him? Because that's what a true sinner sees himself as. A worm in the side of a thrice holy God. Paul said, O wretched man that I am. Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips. In a people of unclean lips. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. We preach the only comfort any true sinner can lean to. There is a Savior, there is one who has put away the sins of His chosen. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we who are given to Him in old eternity, before the world was created, would be righteous in Him. That's our comfort. He is our only righteousness. We dare not look at the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. We know we have no righteousness of our own. We know the sin that is in us. This is why we need to be comforted. This is why we need to hear about Him. More about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. Look over at verse 11. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing to hear? As a sinner, He will feed His flock. In verse 10 we read, behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, His work is before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm. Our Lord comes down, even when we were not willing, and makes us willing in the day of His power, picks us up in His arms, and brings us to where we would hear the gospel preached. and carries them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Our great shepherd is leading us through this world, through this valley of the shadow of death. How many times did we read that in that psalm? I didn't even know that was in our psalm that we were going to read today, the scripture reading. Three times. Three times the Lord used that shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. That's what the world is around us, folks. It's a cursed world. God cannot allow sin in heaven. There must be blood shed for the remission of sin. And our Lord shed His own blood for His people, paying that price in full. Our great shepherd is leading us through this world, through this valley of the shadow of death, and He's gathering His sheep along the way. By the preaching of Christ, His sheep are called out. His sheep are called out to see His truths, and they come willingly by His power. When He has used the simple message of the gospel to cut away the stubborn heart and give us a new heart, we see the truth in His word. We are gathered as helpless lambs under the One who has all power. Look at verse 17. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken unto God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto Him? When we see Christ, the Almighty Creator, well, who is like unto Him? What can compare to the Lord of glory? He who has all power in heaven and earth, can anything turn His hand? If anything could, then could we still call Him God? Look at verse 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He. It is He, our Lord Jesus Christ, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Well, there goes that flat earth idea. I had to bring that up. It is He, God Almighty, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as what?
Grasshoppers.
That's right, Daryl. You were going to read that this morning, weren't you? That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, the stock shall not take root in the earth. And He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away to stubble. To whom then will ye liken to Me, or shall I be equal to? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. That bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them by names by the greatness of His might. For He is the strong in power, though not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? This is our peace, folks. This is the simplicity of the gospel. This is a preacher's simple message this morning. I have nothing more. Jesus is Lord of all. And He died for the sins of His people perfectly. It's finished, He said. Our warfare is accomplished. Our Lord faints not, and I thank God He is long-suffering for my sake. I thank God that He's long-suffering for those that haven't been called yet. Kathy and I had dinner with our granddaughter last night. Some of you know her. She was quite bold and plain about her belief last night, and it saddens my heart. But I do know this. My Lord was long-suffering for me for many years. I was 40 years old when the Lord called me to the truth of His Word. She's only 20. I still have hope. As we do all of our unsaved loved ones, don't we? What a sad way it must be to go through life thinking, oh, if my child would just do this. If they would just stop doing the things of the world and come to Jesus, come down here, pray the prayer. Whatever it is you might think of they have to do. But they won't do it. That's got to be a terrible way to think. It's just got to be a terrible way to have hope. What a great hope we have in the Lord Jesus. All that the Father giveth Him shall come to Him. We're talking about David. And how could David stand up to Goliath? What gave David all that strength to go up against this big giant? His faith. His God-given faith. The gift of faith that all of God's people receive. That's the only thing, because there wasn't anything in him that he could see. Abraham, how could such a man take his only son? Well, actually he had another, but by a different woman. Take his son to a mountaintop to slay him. He had faith. God-given faith. It's the same faith each and every one of you and I have. Our faith is in the fact that Christ has said, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. We believe God's word when He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We believe His word when He says, it is not your will, not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. We believe God. And this is God's word inspired by the Holy Spirit for men to write. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? He's not weak in any way. When He said it was finished, it was finished. His people will be saved. Neither is there worry. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Speaking of David. Even the youth shall faint to be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The Lord says His yoke is easy. Why? Because it's His, not ours, and we look to Him for our all in all. Is that not correct? He has taken it for us. When we see Christ, the Almighty Creator... Oh, wait a minute, I've already read that one. Now look at verse 10 of chapter 41. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Here come those promises, folks. Here comes the word of the Lord right to our hearts. Here comes the simple message that I need to hear all the time. Fear not, John. Lord, I'm not sufficient. I don't spend the time studying that I should. Fear thou not, John. Fear thou not, children of God, for I am with you. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Not with your righteousness, but with his righteousness. With the righteousness of our Savior, we are upheld. Even when the sin in our lives seems to overcome us, we are held up by his righteousness. God forgive us if we ever start looking to ourselves as being righteous in ourselves. That's usually when he lets us step in it, isn't it? And sometimes we have to step in it pretty deep, so that we are returned to that very idea that we have no righteousness of our own. And there's only one righteousness that we can look to. There's only one righteousness that we can count on. There's only one righteousness that makes a sinner clean and white as snow, and that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Here is our comfort we need. Comfort ye, my people. Here is the comfort that we need. The Creator of all that is has sent His Son to be our propitiation, our substitute, our sacrifice. Because He has loved a people whose names were written in the book, a book that was written before the foundation of the world even. God humbled himself and became a man. He provided himself a sacrifice for this people. These ones that he has loved with an eternal love, his word says. He has loved his people, each and every one of us, from before time, and he's going to love us till after time. Eternity. As long as anything can be. Continuous, never ending. These one whose he calls my people. This is good news indeed. This is the comfort that he provides. I have laid down my life and taken it up again so that you may live, he says. He says this to each and every one of his children. And he shall be called Jesus, for he saved his people. And he is always been with us, even when we didn't know it. How often we look back in our lives and see what our Lord has done to keep us from damaging or hurting or doing whatever. Pastor Gene and I were talking about that on the phone the other day. Oh, how often I can look back and see the foolish things in my life that have almost killed me and think my Lord was not ready for me to go yet. It wasn't time. He needed me to hear the gospel preached so that he could call me out of that darkness that I walked in. So that he could save me, because he loved me from it with an everlasting love. Turn to the book of Philippians, if you would, please. He has always been with us, even when we didn't know it. To one who has had the truth of sin revealed to their heart, Christ is our only consolation. We who have seen the truth of what we are before a thrice holy God, we have no other comfort but what God the Spirit would reveal in His Son, the living God. He reveals the gospel. The good news is Christ Jesus. He is the gospel. Who He is, God Almighty, ruler of everything. What He did, He became a man and walked perfectly in our stead. 33 years, fulfilling the law of God perfectly, because we could not. going to the cross and shedding his own blood because ours is unworthy to do so. The gospel is Jesus Christ and who he did what he did for. My people, my elect, those that have been predestined before the world was to be heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he is doing right now, he's sitting on his throne working everything out for each and every one of his people. Calling his lost ones out of darkness. Guiding our footsteps, even when we don't realize it. This is the simple message that God's preachers preach. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Are you with me in Philippians? Look at chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if the bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now read this next part very carefully. The God of all creation, he who said, let it be, and the worlds were, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. For us. The mighty Creator took himself upon himself the form of a servant for us. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. This one who is the glory of God reaches down and touches the hearts of his people. He walks by this little child who was left in the dirt to bleed and die, and he sees us in our poor condition and says, live. That's what he does through the preaching of his gospel. He says, live. Turn over to Matthew chapter 8, if you would. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Before the Lord calls each and every one of his people out of that darkness, we must see the lepers that we were. See the leprosy that is in us. And that's what sin is. Sin is leprosy. It's all through the body. It's not just a part of your head or a part of your arm. It's the entire body. And there's only one who can cleanse it. There's only one. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's the simplest message that I could tell anyone. It's so simple that every one of us can share it with those around us. Lord, give us grace to do so. Would you stand with me and turn